In the name of our risen Lord and Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd, says Jesus. Now, there are a lot of ways of understanding Jesus, but here in his own words, Jesus tells us who he is. And because of the easy association of the Good Shepherd with Psalm 23, that beloved psalm, and the renowned Shepherd King of Israel, King David, along with the sacrificial elements of sheep, this Good Shepherd image is one of the most common and cherished in our faith. But for the vast majority of us, this metaphor is a bit abstract and antiquated. When was the last time any of us saw a shepherd? I mean, sure, we can guess what a shepherd does, right? A shepherd takes care of sheep. But what does that actually mean? Now, more than knowing that Jesus is a shepherd, this particular understanding of Jesus includes the modifier good. It's not just that Jesus is the shepherd of our souls, but that he is the good shepherd. There's an essential passage from the prophet Ezekiel that helps us to understand both what a shepherd ought to do and what separates a good one from a bad. Ezekiel receives this word from God. Say to the shepherds of my people Israel, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings. But you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. Jesus puts it a little bit differently, calling them not bad shepherds, but hired hands. They're not even worthy to be called shepherds because what they're doing isn't for the sheep, but for themselves. When danger comes, they run and leave the sheep to the wolves. As Ezekiel prophesied, these bad shepherds are happy to use the sheep for financial gains, selling and using their meat and their wool. But they don't take care of the sickly sheep. They don't dress their wounds. They don't seek out the lost. They don't give adequate food, shelter, or protection. And the result is the scattering and the disillusion of the flock. Now, clearly, this is a metaphor. Because Jesus, as far as we know, did not have any actual sheep that he took care of. And so this tells us that the bad shepherds, or the hired hands, are something other than negligent agriculturalists. If the shepherd metaphor is about having someone that cares for God's people, defends them, feeds them, and guides them, then these bad shepherds are those who do the opposite. So who are the bad shepherds for us to worry about? I'm sure you all can think of some. Sadly, the church can be one of these hired hands. When the church cares more about its prominence in the community or the size of its budget or membership, bad things can happen. Witnessing to the radical and transforming nature of our faith is sometimes pushed off to the side. Because it's considered too divisive, difficult, or controversial. Instead of caring for God's flock, too often the church is concerned with its own ability to exert influence into politics or to have a role in legislating morality. But the sheep are not served when the church acts based on its own self-interest. Certainly, capitalism is a hired hand that does not care for the sheep. To be clear, I am not an economist, and so I can't tell you what a better economic practice would be for the flock, but I know it's not what we have. Where the earth is polluted, the poor are oppressed, and everyone else is left to fight it out, while the super wealthy buy and sell sports franchises as investment opportunities. Our legal system is another bad shepherd. I've just finished reading a really interesting book called How Rights Went Wrong, about the uniquely American obsession with personal rights. The author, a constitutional law professor at Columbia, notes that our legal system is about producing winners and losers instead of finding solutions and reconciling differences. And this is most obvious when it comes to the question of rights. Rights have become a hired hand that promise to give us the things that we need, but more often than not, they just end up framing our lives around what we are allowed to do instead of what we should be doing. And the result is that the flock is often at war with itself. The so-called justice that our criminal justice system has promised often ends up coming out crooked, as one of the prophets puts it. While it was a relief to see our legal system hold the officer who murdered George Floyd accountable for his deeds, as people of faith, we make a grave error when we turn to our legal system for justice instead of us doing the harder and more important work of creating a more just society, starting with our families, communities, schools, and workplaces. Confusing a hired hand for a shepherd can be dangerous because accountability is not the same thing as justice. Now, I'm sure you can think of plenty of other bad shepherds, so I'll mention just one more. Violence. We have never met a problem that violence or the threat of violence does not appear for us to be a solution. Whether it's excessive spending on the hired hand of our nation's military budget, while at the same time we have underfunded schools, hungry children, and aging infrastructure, or a firearm bought under the guise of self-defense that end up being used in a domestic dispute during a bout of depression or found by a curious toddler. Violence promises to protect us, to be our good shepherd, but almost always gets turned back on the sheep. Whether the promise of security is financial, physical, emotional, or social, we are surrounded by bad shepherds who tell us that our best interest is their priority, that they will always take care of us, that we can trust them and hand over to them our livelihood, our allegiances, our money, our children, our identity. And sometimes these hired hands, whose flocks we willingly join, will make good on these promises, at least on some of them. We all know that in the short term, being a greedy, violent, and selfish person can get us what we want. Churches that focus on being the biggest can enjoy the fleeting but still very real successes of being popular and trendy. But the bad shepherds, just like false idols, will always demand more than they give. Yes, using the image of the shepherd from Psalm 23, we can say that the good shepherd guides us, is present with us, refreshes us, and nourishes us. And indeed, Jesus is our good shepherd with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Through the Eucharist, he makes our cup to run over with grace and mercy. He allows us to encounter his peace that passes all understanding as we lie down in green pastures beside still waters. And I am thankful for all of those things. But these things, as wonderful as they might be, are not what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. Those things might make him good at being a shepherd. But what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd is, in his own words, that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Unlike the hired hands who run at the first sign of trouble, or the bad shepherds who are more than happy to extract meat and wool from the sheep, but aren't really concerned with their long-term well-being, the good shepherd is so invested in the sheep that he will give up his life for theirs. The good shepherd does not run from the wolves, but rather gives himself over to the wolves of sin and death, so that they may never again prey on the flock. In 1 John, we heard the same sentiment. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. If we want to know why Jesus is the good shepherd, we look to the cross and see there on full display the love of God for us. Those bad shepherds and hired hands cannot and will not give themselves for us. Violence begets violence, not salvation. There is no such thing as enough when it comes to money, and so the economy will always seek to extract more and more out of us, leaving us with less time, less joy, less satisfaction. Being right or having fame can change just as quickly as the direction of the wind. So tying ourselves to those hired hands will leave us unsettled and uncertain. Our good shepherd, Jesus, though, gives us so much more than he asks of us. Actually, he doesn't even ask us for anything. Rather, he gives us entrance into the new creation of his resurrection, in which we can live in harmony with the deepest truths of reality, with beauty and grace and love surrounding us, with the assurance of our forgiveness and everlasting life. This is what the author of 1 John is beckoning us towards. Let us love, and I would add an only here, let us love not only in word or speech, but in truth and action. And this is what our good shepherd does for us, loves us to the fullest depths of the truth and to the furthest extreme of action, death on a cross. We're gathered here this morning, though, on the day of the resurrection, because death was not final. Just as Jesus laid down his life, he picked it up again by the power of love that is stronger than even death. And in doing so, Jesus has made the whole creation new and opened to us the way of love. As our good shepherd, he calls us into the green pastures of the resurrection through the still water of baptism. The question for you and for me is, whose voice will we follow? Certainly there are those siren songs of fame, glory, self-righteousness, wealth, power, revenge, being right. But there's another voice that calls to each of us. It's a voice that tells us, be not afraid. Yes, that voice might also call us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but our good shepherd will be with us as we walk that way. It is a voice that will say the Lord is risen and compels us to go and tell others what we have seen. It is a voice that knows us better than we know ourselves. It is the voice of our good shepherd who calls us to trust that we are known, loved, forgiven, and redeemed. It is the voice of he who said, this is my body, this is my blood, given for you. It is the voice of the one who laid down his life for the flock and took it up again. Now, this voice might not offer us those too good to be true promises that the hired hands and the bad shepherds will offer us, but this is the voice of the one who leads us into the refreshment of living in the holy and blessed difference that Christ makes. Our good shepherd is calling to us with words assuring, I am with you always, and so all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.